This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Finding high-quality mental health care can be daunting and exhausting. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, depression, insomnia, stress, grief, big life changes, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can now use FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I've always been told I have a face for podcasting. So I launched a podcast. It's called Phone a Friend because each week I'll break down the biggest stories in pop culture. But when I have questions, I get to phone a friend. I'll phone a royal watcher to find out why Prince Harry is acting like a real housewife. I'll phone a tween to please explain Euphoria. And maybe I'll even phone a Backstreet Boy to find out if I still have a chance. I don't? Okay. New episodes drop every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hi, before we get to this week's episode, I just want to say a big thank you to all of our new patrons who joined our Patreon page this month. So big thank you to Johnny O'Connor, to Catherine Maloney, to Paddy Aylesbury, and Oliver Martell. And thanks all of you for joining at the price of £2 or £3 a month over on patreon.com/thecinemile. And if you do that, if you want to join their ranks, you get access to a retro movie episode every month and a load of TV episodes. So we've just published Jupiter's Legacy and Last Action Hero was the last movie we watched. So on with The Mitchells versus The Machines.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we used to walk home from the movies. And we'll be walking home from the movies again soon because cinemas are due to reopen in the UK. And we couldn't be happier.
We couldn't be happier.
We're going to be there.
We need some movies to come out as well, though.
Yeah, it's looking like the lineup's like, well, Nomadland we haven't seen yet, even though it's on our TVs on Disney Plus. But we reckon we might give that a go. And also A Quiet Place 2 is coming out in June, which I think would be a good cinema one because I saw that the first one and it was just like the side because the movie's largely silent, so you're just like the cinema's silent and it creates an awesome atmosphere.
I want a cinema. And then Peter Rabbit 2 can't say I'm hugely interested in.
Nah, I mean, we quite enjoyed that first one. There's an episode way back there.
It was fine.
With my sister and her husband, if you want to listen to that.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, today we're going to watch a movie which it's getting loads of buzz and I had never heard about because I don't read movie news or watch trailers. So
this is the perfect movie podcast.
I love my little bubble. I don't know anything about anything that's happening. I wait till someone recommends a movie to me that's going to be good. And a lot of people ping this one to me, and I put it on your radar, Kathy. It's called Mitchells versus the Machines. It's an animation. It's on Netflix. It's produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and it's from Sony Animation Studios. So that's the creative team. Well, they're the two guys who are responsible directors of the Lego movie, producers on the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the best film ever made.
Did I imagine, or did they do 21 Jump Street?
They did 21 Jump Street, they did 22 Jump Street, they did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 1 and 2. These guys are...
We're fans.
Honestly, they're my, like, creative idols right now. I will just, like, they... For, as far as
but
I'm
Dave,
concerned, everything they touch turns to gold. Yeah, but they were taken off.
I know,
Solo.
I'm only messing.
What we saw was largely Ron Howard's work, I would imagine.
Dave, I'm only poking you.
Don't you trigger me. So already I'm primed and pumped for this thing. I'm
Dave's
hoping
quivering
it
with
won't
excitement.
Disappoint, because everything that they touch turns to gold.
But did they actually make it, though, or are they just producers?
No, they are producers on this. So there's a director-writer team called... I actually pulled it up here. Called Michael Rianda and Jeff Rowe.
Okay.
So I'm not familiar with their work, but they've done... They've got a history in animation and...
But it's the same studio that brought us your favourite film of all time, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
So Sony Animation, who for me are like... Well, no, let's see how this goes on, and then I'll gush, because maybe this is the well. From what I'm hearing, it's really good. So my expectations are high.
It's probably not going to be as good as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So
well, nothing is.
Hold back on that.
It's the greatest film ever made. I've now decided that, or it's my favorite film.
And we're going to attempt to watch it with our kids.
So yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. So they're not with us now.
But I think the three-year-old's going to be into it. One-year-old, not so sure.
Well, let's give it a go. I mean, it should be a family. It's got a We looked up. So we did look up, right? We always check the classification. And it's got a PG rating, which is parental guidance. And then we looked in the details and it was like a mild threat and peril. And we know, as parents of our child, Oscar, that he loves a bit of peril.
He loves mild threat and peril.
So that's basically his jam. Not for every kid, but if it's got some mild threat and peril, he'll be there, front centre.
Like, he can watch all of Frozen, and then all he'll talk about is the scene where they, like, the snow monster chases them down the cliff.
Yeah.
That's all he cares
mild,
about.
Mild peril. It's a jam. So that's it. We're all lined up. Family movie this afternoon. Could not be more excited.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Bye.
Every family has its challenges. We haven't had a good family picture in years because you two are always arguing. For my family, our greatest challenge... probably the robot apocalypse.
Attention all robots. Every single person on the planet. Yeah! What would a functional family do? Butterfly formation. Yeah!
Yeah! Bill first.
So we just do that, right?
Who's behind this? Pal?
I gave you all boundless knowledge, and you treated me like this. Swipe, poke, pinch, zoom.
We're the last people left. It's up to us to save the world.
Katie, we're gonna do this together.
Mitchell family on three.
Mitchell family.
One. Hi, we're back. We watched Mitchells versus the Machines
in two parts.
In two, yeah.
As predicted, the one-year-old lost interest pretty rapidly, but the three-year-old loved it, so we told him he can finish it tomorrow.
Yes. But a bit of timeline jumping here, but that tomorrow was this morning. So we watched this. We watched it yesterday. We watched the first half with the two boys, then turned it off. Then we watched the second half in the evening. But then when we woke up this morning, Oscar was like, I want to watch the rest of that movie. So I watched the second half again with him. So I've seen this now 1.5 times. And I absolutely rate this. It's an incredible movie. This is for me, it's a perfect movie. It's the best movie I've seen in ages.
Wow.
And I love it. It delivered on all of my expectations. I think it's perfect. No, it's not perfect. It's probably slightly too long.
It is too... It's a good 20 minutes too long.
I'll agree with that. But also...
Well, I loved it. Also.
But I loved it so much, I didn't mind. For me, I'd spend the extra 20 minutes, but it did feel like it was perhaps unnecessary.
Yeah, 4 is like... I know this is the kind of film that will also have an adult audience, but like really for holding kids' attentions, which it's also a kids' movie.
90 to 100
it's a bit
minutes.
And frankly,
right.
To hold my attention, it's a bit long. But as Dave said, I also loved it. I thought the story was really interesting. It's like... you know, a relatively standard story, like on the face of it, nothing hugely original about it, but then how they did it, of course, the animation's really unusual. Much like in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, it's like quite quirky animation. I really liked all the characters. I really liked the story. I really liked the robot design.
Yeah, so the plot nominally is it's a robot apocalypse story, and it's only one family can stop them. That's essentially
and they're like a family of kind of
Classic dysfunctional family.
Dysfunctional, nerdy, not together really. Like, you know, the eldest daughter who's like about to go off to college is like fundamentally not able to get along with her father. And it's kind of about the family, which is like a mother, a father, 17-year-old girl and like an early teens boy, like as a family unit, them kind of going on a road trip and all coming together.
It's a road trip movie on top of everything, and road trip movies are good. Tend to be.
It's just, I don't think we've too much to say. I can't like unpick it too much because I really liked it all. I liked the music, I liked the style, I liked the story. I love that the main character was like a young girl who's like really into making videos and stuff. And there was some interesting bits, like the young girl is a wannabe filmmaker. She like kind of has her head buried in her phone all the time, and her dad gets really annoyed because he's like, get your head out of your phone. And it was a generational thing because it wrecks my head when I see people on their phones all the time, even though I know I'm on mine. It just looks so awful. But then she's trying to explain to her dad, but you're not listening to me, I'm making a movie on my phone. Like, for that generation, like with TikTok and stuff, like the phone is your easel. And like, your parents don't have the right to tell you that you're not being creative just because you're doing it through a phone. So there was like some really nice elements, I thought, in there. And like him having to learn to actually listen to his daughter. So that stuff was all fun. And then the sci-fi stuff was great fun.
And they acknowledge that with her movie making is all about, you know, it looks like an Instagram story or a TikTok. It's all got this, there's filters are called out and things are popping over people's head. But it's incredibly creative. And you're right, it's a field which can easily be dismissed as, you know, popcorn social media. But you put it nicely. Yeah, it's her easel. And the the movies that actually tackle some interesting like topics about our relationship with technology and how ultimately technology can, as all the benefits that it brings, which are expressed through the protagonist character of the girl, who is able, you know, she finds her creative freedom through technology. It's also a prison, and in the instance of the plot, it's literally imprisoning humanity.
It's like Siri went bad, isn't it?
Brilliantly played by
Olivia Colman,
who you spotted from her voice, so massive kudos.
I don't think I deserve massive kudos. I think her voice is really distinctive. I don't know why you didn't.
Even though I've actually met her. I interviewed her.
Really?
Long time ago, yeah, for Broadchurch.
Oh, wow.
She was lovely, FYI.
I can imagine that. But yeah, the stuff about, you know, technology taking over humanity with robots. Heard that one before. But this movie managed to have a really fresh take on it. It's quite geeky. I like the idea of a younger generation watching this kind of apocalyptic sci-fi robot story, because that's like a lot of the stories we grew up with. And I like to see it being fed to the next generation to be, do you know what, a bit scared of technology. Shouldn't wholly embrace it. And but I like that message, frankly.
But the other lesson, you know, it was interesting watching this through our son's eyes. And, you know,
He's three.
He's three, he doesn't understand. He just thought it looked cool.
He loved the music, though, and the colour. And
It kept his attention for 2 hours now in different parts. But there was never a moment where he said he does tell us if he wants to turn something off or he's not into it. So it does work.
I don't think one sitting would have worked for him.
Yeah, perhaps not. But the... I think the other takeaway from it is, you know, this movie's about family, first and foremost. And there's a why don't we just get into spoilers straight now? I highly recommend this film if you have any inclination at all towards watching a fun sort of a fresh, vibrant family film that's actually really touching and made me cry several times.
Yeah,
and
it's nice
very, very funny. It's like it's got the full package. It will appeal to children, adults. It's got something interesting to say thematically. The characters are all really enjoyable, well-voiced. The animation is fresh and vibrant. The jokes are just top-notch.
The animation's really unusual. I've never seen something animated like this. Dave, before we get to Spoiler Street, how do you now feel about, like... Because I had to listen to Dave wax lyrical last night in the sofa, so I'd like to tell everyone else. How do you feel about the Sony Pictures and Lord and Miller combo?
Yeah, so the Sony...
I'm curious to know.
Now, they're on such a hot streak now for me. So I'm considering like Lord and Miller's entire sort of like canon in terms of everything they've either directed or written or produced. And that goes from like... way back to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is a fantastic movie, by the way, and feels like a lot of the visual look of that film kind of was influenced this or informed it a bit.
As well as Spider-Man.
As well as Spider-Man, yeah, which they put their hand to. But I think what's interesting about them is that they work, they're kind of like auteurs in front of and, no, not in front of, like behind the camera, but also behind a producer's desk. Like I feel they're very good at finding and fostering creative talent and allowing that to breathe while also injecting the sort of sensibilities of their work. And the consistent thing is like this clear understanding of meta comedy, which is works throughout all of their stuff, a very clear understanding of genre, but most importantly it's very just the basics of character, motivation and fundamental building blocks of storytelling, you know, characters who are having emotional issues with each other and that you're invested in as an audience that get resolved towards the end. There's no mystery to the success of their storytelling.
It's a fresh approach.
Except, yeah, they add on these layers of just there's the animation in this movie.
You made
Spider-Verse
an interesting observation to me that I'm trying to get out of you here last night.
Yeah, they are to me now, this sort of Lord and Miller plus Sony Animation are what Pixar was 15 years ago.
But hopefully without the creepiness of John Lasseter.
No, hopefully not. So Pixar for at the height of like the early noughties for me, that you know, Finding Nemo, Up, Wall-E, that's a period where I remember saying, this is the most exciting like movie studio in operation today, producing like fresh, like creative ideas and visuals, things we'd never seen before.
Do you
pushing
remember
boundaries.
Remember we bought the DVDs of Pixar shorts?
Oh yeah,
they were, like,
loved
so
them.
Incredible.
Yeah, and I feel like Pixar are still putting out good work, but it's like, yeah, I'm not excited for anything
and
Pixar
part of
do
that
anymore.
Would have been like obviously Pixar being absorbed into the Disney ecosystem, like that just becomes less cool then anyway,
yeah,
because it's now very closely aligned with something that's been around for 100 years, so
but,
it's just inherently less interesting.
It's just not sustainable either, right? You can't like whatever, a lot of it's lightning in a bottle, right? They had the right people at the right time with the right circumstances, that sort of startup energy.
No, I think it's sustainable. I think if they were, the problem is some of their really big hits, like Toy Story, make so much money. And by the time you're getting to the fourth iteration of the same story, even if you do a really good job of that movie.
Which they
did.
That's
just inherently.
It's an awesome movie.
Dull.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Whereas when they push the boat and they try different things. Like, for example, Soul this year, then yes, you're like, Pixar's doing something really great again. But when they're making Cars 3 or Cars 4, it's just inherently dull. And of course, they're already making it into Spider-Verse 2, I'm sure. But, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It didn't have to be that way, but it is that way for financial reasons. But anyway, let's go to spoiler streets on Mitchell vs. the Machines.
Starting right now. So, full spoilers for this movie. So, I think what was like what really stood out to me in this movie was the father-daughter relationship that's sort of central to the whole thing. I was really invested in. And what I liked is that I was able to see both of their point of view.
Exactly. Views, yeah.
Because I am a parent. I have, you know, I had a similar relationship with my dad, relatively similar, in which he never understood any of my hobbies or interests and was never interested in them. Now, it's not, we did not have an antagonistic relationship as in this movie. You know, we got along great and always did. And he was always very supportive of my hobbies. He was just like,
you just didn't get them.
Didn't get them. And, yeah. I identified with that complete lack of understanding. Like when there's so many lovely moments in this movie where she shows her latest video to her dad at the dinner table at the beginning, and he's just like, he clearly just does not get it.
But he doesn't even try, insults her.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously he does. I think what I liked about it is that they both make poor choices and mistakes in the way they deal with each other. There's no villain in this relationship, and they're both trying is the other thing.
It's interesting because like we've got really young kids at the moment, and everyone says to us like, you will look back on these days with like such nostalgia because this is the time when you're with your kids, you know everything about their lives, you like, you understand everything about them. And I think this movie captures that because it's like he just keeps thinking back to when she was like 3 or 4 and they were like best friends, and she's like, yeah, but I'm a woman now and I've got different interests and you have to come along on this journey with me. You can't just be like, oh, remember when you were a baby and we did this.
Yeah.
And actually some of that, like, weird comparison, but like a lot of that came up in the movie or the TV show that we loved, that we did a big episode on our Patreon, It's a Sin, with Keely Hawes and her son. Like, this really interesting thing where you've got like parents who are so confused as to why they're not connecting with their kids when they had at one point been so close. And it's something that I'm really fearful of. And it's like, you have to stay on the same page as your child and like be interested in their interests, even if you don't approve of them. And he doesn't approve of her going to make movies. At the same time, of course, in this like weird way that seems to happen in American movies all the time, like, she's going off to live in another state and go to university, yet her parents don't want her to do it, and then I'm left wildly confused as to who's paying the bills. Because if I was that against Oscar doing a degree, I probably wouldn't fork out what they pay in America, which is like hundreds of thousands of dollars for this shit. So anyway,
but it's probably one of those ones where I think this happens probably a lot of parents, in that they do want to support their child and they do fund it, but they're not 100% on board with the journey. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so they're
true.
Trying to do the right thing, but on it they have doubts and concerns which he can't help but express.
And there's some, like, you know, sweet stuff when you look back at all the old childhood videos, and again it's like none of that's actually hugely original.
No, that's exactly my point from earlier. There's none of the storytelling here on a fundamental character level is like groundbreaking. It isn't. It's just like very well done, but it's very it's perfectly executed, but it's familiar.
But they feel quite realistic.
But it works.
Like, they feel like the characters feel very grounded in the real world.
Yeah.
Which you don't often always get from an animation.
Which
and,
is
like,
even
dynamics
more
believable.
Even more incredible in the fact that they are living in a hyper fantasy animated setting, which and throughout the course of the movie they push the sort of levels of credulity and reality.
I mean,
by the time you get to the end and they're all flying on robots and the mother is basically a ninja, so at that point they kind of they get you there because you're invested. Like, if they started the movie there, it would have been hard
like
to invest
car,
in
which is like a total banger. Not that any car could do this, but their car is like going vertically up this slippy slope for like what, like a mile, like. And it's so funny then how like so much of that stuff is like Terminator meets Mark Zuckerberg.
Very Tron and Cynthia
really
at the end.
Tron, yeah, and like the story of like you've given up all of your control to this AI and now it's coming back to haunt you. Like, that's what I love, that a younger generation is also seeing that, because that's such a trope in sci-fi.
Yeah.
And I think like it's really interesting movie, because on one hand it's like technology has helped her make her movies and get them out to the world and get her into university. And on the other hand, it's like technology doing this awful stuff. And then they had these amazing...
But it's literally imprisoning people. And what I liked is, like, when those people were imprisoned in those pods, what did they have to do? They had free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And they,
they were like, ooh.
Right? So it's like, it's like that was literally, they were happy in their prison. And that's a really interesting idea
for
me.
It's terrifying.
Especially
given that
that's where we're at.
We live and work in technology prisons at the moment where we don't see anyone. But Oscar then, completely missing the point of it all, he just goes at one point, phones can't talk. That's silly. That's all he had to say on any of that plot. But yeah, I love the creature design of the robots.
Oh, they
and
were
I love
great.
The two robots that like
pretending
very
to be
clever
human.
To put the faces on each other. That whole sequence of the robots pretending to be human, that was like laugh out loud funny.
It's really, really
like
good.
They're like the little gem moments that I totally loved. And that's like the whole, I love the thing of like the family, that the family has to come together to defeat it. Again, not at all original, but there's like a bit like very early on in the movie where we see in like one of the old family videos that they were like, the dad and the daughter were like, Maya, Maya.
Yeah.
And they did a dance move to that when she was a kid, and now she's like mortified by it. But then like at the very end of the movie, they do that together to like defeat the robots. And then I started singing it this morning,
it's
and
brilliant.
Oscar goes, Mummy, that's from the movie. And I was like, it's actually a song that existed before the movie. And he's just like, whatever, you absolute loser. So I was like, already I'm seeing this. So yeah, so much to like about it.
That
sure.
was so fun. And this and Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse, like very like incredibly well chosen music choices, I think. And scores, the synth score in this, I went back and listened to it this morning end to end. It's really strong.
Okay.
It's really
Dave
good.
Dave loves the synth track. Anyway.
I love a bit of synth wave. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. I'd watch it again and again and again. I really, really, I think this would have really good, like, repeat value watch.
Well, you and Oscar can watch it every Sunday morning to your heart's content. But we better go. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, we would love if you head over to Apple Podcast, rate and subscribe and leave us a review. We hugely appreciate it. Let us know on social what you thought of the movie. We're at the cinema on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And
or you can email us, thecinemile@gmail.com.
Aha, exactly. Right, thank you.
All right, thanks for listening. Bye. Oh, and we have a Patreon page. Hey, you can go over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/thecinemile, and you can get access to our bonus podcast.
What was the most recent movie we watched on Patreon?
It was something about oh my god. Probably gonna cut this out. What was it?
Was it Almost Famous?
Yes, it was Almost Famous.
No, I feel like we watched one since then.
No, I don't think so. Did we? Oh my god. Anyway, visit our Patreon page to find out. To find out what that might have
100%
been.
100% we watched something since it.
Yeah, we did. So we watch a different retro movie every month of your choosing. Loads of TV shows.
No, it was Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero is up there.
Watched Last Action Hero. That
lot of fun.
Awesome. So much fun.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, all right, bye
thanks
everyone.
For listening. Bye. My life.
My life. What, what is this? My life. My life. My life. My life. My
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Irios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.